T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for Bonte.
Let's just put the rat on the table, cool.
Stiney.
Plus on the dialogue, I laugh the loudest tutor.
Yeah!
And Guru.
Hell yeah! So I go, who paid for me? She goes, sir, it's free when you're over 44.
Live from the Cheesesteak Shop in Pleasanton on 95.7 The Game.
All right. Oh, that was that two goes I got?
Oh, okay.
Thank you, Steven. All right. What's going on, everybody? Matt Stein, that's Bonte Hill. Joe Shasky is in for Daryl the Guru Johnson. If you were with us yesterday, Guru gave it a go. Just wasn't feeling up to it today. We want him to get well as soon as possible. And we are at the Cheesesteak Shop in Pleasanton, 4825 Hop Yard. Come by and say hello if you're in the East Bay. We'll be here till 2 o'clock, and it's part of our road show, gentlemen. And tomorrow we will be at Bartlett Hall in San Francisco. That's on O'Farrell. And Friday at the Kezar Pub in Stanyan. It's part of our mini road trip for Super Bowl 54. And you guys are obviously welcome to join. What's going on, gents? Joe,
up,
welcome. Baby? Thanks for popping in, buddy.
What's up, Butch?
You know, it's kind of like when, you know, Guru pulled an Okello Witherspoon and you needed to get Emmanuel Mosley off the bench. And I'm coming in. And I'm thinking I might just stick a tight end right here. On their way in line at the cheesesteak shop.
Do they call Pleasanton P-Town?
They do.
Sometimes. We're out here
Dublin,
in P-Town.
Pleasanton. Yeah.
P-Town, nice little ride out here. We got cheesesteaks, too. So, like I told you guys, we ate great food yesterday at Players Arcade Bar and Grill yesterday at Pier 39. We're going to eat great food today. Probably going to have about 3 cheesesteaks. So you guys can talk Super Bowl. I'll eat cheesesteaks and also the curly fries with the cheese whiz over it.
And one of the things I just – and you guys probably know this, but I'll caution you heading into the 4 hours – you know Guru will be listening all 4 hours.
Oh, he does.
So just know that everything you say – he's going to hear, and then if he's got a problem with it, he will approach you.
So just go ahead and roast Guru all day long.
Guru's gripes?
Make my day. Guru's gripes.
That's
still
okay.
A segment if you want.
Wow.
Okay.
All righty. Here's where I want to start today as we are inching closer to Super Bowl 54, and it's the quarterbacks, no kidding. But it's something I saw from the Chiefs owner, Clark Hunt. And he basically was asked about Mahomes' contract situation, and Clark Hunt said, yeah, we'll get something done probably in 12 to 15 months. In other words, after next season. Mahomes is eligible for an extension after this season. But then I got to thinking, the Niners got Jimmy Garoppolo now. First of all, they can get rid of Jimmy. Anybody think they're going to get rid of Jimmy Garoppolo?
Probably
this offseason?
Probably not.
All right, so assuming they don't do that, they essentially have him under contract for 3 more years at $25 million a year, essentially. Patrick Mahomes, in a pretty short amount of time, is going to be making what a year at least?
40?
I mean, they're talking about $40 million a year once he gets his contract extension. And how can you dispute that when you see Jared Goff making $36 million a year? That's why, and I know a lot of people say you shouldn't invest that much into a quarterback. You shouldn't do it because it's going to compromise you when you look at the total football team. You're going to start to lose players. You're going to lose receivers. You're going to lose linemen. You're going to lose all those pieces. But Mahomes will get his money. If the Chiefs don't give him $40 million, somebody will. And whether or not you think it's ridiculous that he's going to get $40 million a year, that's just what's going to happen. He's going to get his money regardless, whether it's from the Kansas City Chiefs or from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers or whoever has cap space. Somebody's going to pay Patrick Mahomes.
Is there a better way to do it?
What, franchise him and go the Kirk Cousins
route? No, more that if you know, I mean, nobody's going to turn their back on a $40 million quarterback if he's worth $40 million. But there's something to be said for, let's say hypothetically, Mahomes got $50 million. It's important that Mahomes, in Kansas City's eyes, be twice as good as Jimmy Garoppolo. You know what I mean? And I get it. That's very simplistic. But that's where value comes from. And maybe Mahomes is not the right guy to use. He's on his rookie contract. He's going to get a big deal. But, you know, you want to squeeze the best quarterback out of the least amount of money. And I think the 49ers have a pretty good balance there. It's not exorbitant money, but he's not Mahomes either. But it's not chump change. But he's a franchise quarterback at this point.
He's earned it, though. If he's not worth it, who is? I mean, I look at somebody like Drew Brees, and he's been paid pretty handsomely over the years. And you know what the GM's job is? It's to build the team around that amazing quarterback. This is a great problem if you're the Kansas City Chiefs. And you talked about value. I mean, right now, Patrick Mahomes, does he have the greatest approval rating of any Kansas City Chief ever?
Probably.
Not named Derek Thomas?
Probably.
I mean, when you're talking about value off the field, Patrick Mahomes is one of the top-selling jerseys. He's one of the few T-shirt jerseys I see from all these kids that I see out in gyms playing ball left and right. Like, you just don't see Kansas City Chief uniforms. It wasn't like Alex Smith was out selling uniforms. As great as Priest Holmes and Larry Johnson were 10, 15 years ago, you didn't see kids on the East and West Coast rocking those jerseys. So Mahomes is worth every penny. And look at what the Seattle Seahawks have done, obviously breaking off Russell Wilson.
Right.
Do they regret paying him?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. But here's the problem with the Kansas City Chiefs, a problem with signing Mahomes. You look at their cap situation in the future. That's why this Super Bowl for them, their window's going to close soon. Their window's going to close because at some point you got to make a decision on Sammy Watkins. At some point you have to make a decision on Travis Kelce. You have to pay him. Defensively, what are you going to do outside of Frank Clark and a Honey Badger? You got to build a defense. That's their weak link. So as much as good as Mahomes is, I think the 49ers are in a better situation because you didn't have to break the bank for Jimmy Garoppolo. You front-loaded a contract, which is going to allow you to pay George Kittle.
Well,
it's
going
to allow you to
possibly
pay Armstead and pay DeForest Buckner.
I agree with everything you said except two words about the Chiefs.
What's that?
That their window may close. I don't think it can close with Mahomes.
I agree.
I just think that's kind of the trade-off.
Like, yeah.
I mean, if you pay him a ton of money, it's tough to build around him. But he's so good.
Right.
He'll always ensure some kind of success, kind of like what Rodgers, I think, does in Green Bay.
Totally agree.
Right.
You know, is he going to win it every year? No, but you know, they're nine wins every year.
Yeah.
Mark it down.
I hear you.
Would you rather be the Kansas City Chiefs moving forward or the Minnesota Vikings locked in with a quarterback
where they have a ceiling,
but they have an unbelievable roster that's loaded all the way around that quarterback? Or do you want to overpay the unbelievable quarterback who's such a unicorn and then have lesser parts around him? I think I'll take that Seattle model over the Minnesota model every single day.
Yeah, and interestingly, the Minnesota model is kind of the 49ers model.
It is.
And whether it was Garoppolo or Kirk Cousins, it was kind of going to be that model, not the one of paying crazy money for a quarterback. But, you know, Mahomes is – he's headed to the Hall of Fame probably, assuming he doesn't get hurt. I mean, I don't think that's crazy already.
Right.
And so the question is how – deep can he get you every year, depending on the talent around him?
That's a big thing. We look at their defense, right? We keep looking at their defense. They made the switch from Spagnuolo, from Don Sutton, 3-4 to a 4-3. It's just how can you build around him and keep the parts around him happy? Like a guy like Travis Kelce in a couple years, hell, they win the Super Bowl, he may come to training camp and say, you know what? I'm making $11 million this year. I should be paid $20 a year. I'm that special. Tyreek Hill, he can't do that because of his offseason. But Sammy Watkins will be entering the last year of his deal, $21 million. He may say, I want to stay here in Kansas City. Give me an extension. You just worry about, because as special as Russell Wilson is, as special as he is, he has to cover up so much for that Seattle Seahawks team. The offensive line, the defense has gone through a transition. Who's the running back? He's got young wide receivers. Thankfully, he's got a young one in DK Metcalf that's going to help him. But how much can a quarterback carry the load year in and year out without winning that big one? Because at some point, Kansas City is going to want that Super Bowl. They're going to want that Lombardi. And I get it. You can't take away anything from Patrick Mahomes if he doesn't get it because he's that special. He's going to have you in the hunt. But you just worry about the other parts. I worry about the other parts. Like the Rams are going to go through that with Jared Goff. I know it was a mistake paying him, but now look at the Rams situation.
Yeah, but if you have the right head coach quarterback combination, you're looking at a 10-year run. Look at New England Patriots.
Yeah.
Look at the New Orleans Saints. Look at Pete Carroll and Russell Wilson.
Brady was on a discounted contract.
I know he was. He was the outlier. He was the outlier. But here's the thing, though. You talked about Russell Wilson in Seattle. They were a heartbeat away from winning the division, getting a bye, and they might be in the situation that the 49ers are in right now. And I don't think anybody would take Seattle's roster over the Niners' roster right now. So, look. It's hard in sports to find the franchise quarterback. Mm-hmm. It's even exponentially harder to find Patrick Mahomes' unicorn talent.
Right.
They're in a great situation right here. I'll settle and pay this guy whatever it's worth
no doubt.
Keep him there, and I'll build the lesser parts around him. And that's what Andy Reid's been great at.
No doubt.
Finding value later in drafts, finding wide receivers no one else wants.
Running backs as well.
Think about Travis Kelce. You're talking about Travis Kelce. George Kittle was a fifth-round draft pick.
No doubt.
Find other guys. It's just really hard to find and identify and then pay that quarterback.
And let me be clear. I'm not saying don't pay Patrick Mahomes. You pay Patrick Mahomes whatever the hell he wants. You give him a blank check and you say, what do you want, Patrick? I just worry about it. Look, and they have a good front. They have a good structure in Kansas City. Good GM, good owner, good head coach. They know how to draft. But that is a concern of mine moving forward. If you're especially because you look at the Rams, you give up all the picks, and you have to hit on these picks when you have a Mahomes, and you're giving them so much of the cap. You're going to give them like 20-25% of the cap.
But the one thing that you haven't brought it up that I think needs to be addressed is once you get a player like Mahomes locked in long term, you get the random guys like Eric Weddle at the end of their career who say, you know, I want to go play in L.A. I want to play
it's
with
true.
McVay. I want to play with Goff. And,
good point.
And you get that warrior effect, as we like to say. Hey, any veteran who wants to just ring chase
start signing
can
mid-level
come here.
Deals, yeah.
I mean, isn't that kind of the sweet spot that you're looking for as an organization?
I can see that with Mahomes.
I mean, how many wide receivers, like if you're DeSean Jackson, you were referencing Sammy Watkins, DeSean Jackson, end of his career, doesn't have a ring. Man, I think I could really work with Patrick Mahomes if you're DeSean Jackson, right?
No doubt.
What's Bosa going to get paid when his contract's
over? He's got 4 years to go. They can give him that fifth-year option. He's going to get paid a lot of money. I mean, right now, is there any other defensive player? We were talking about this last night.
Well, who's the highest paid defensive guy
in
this
position?
Aaron Donald
got broken off, $80 million, $75 million in guaranteed money?
Yep.
I think $113, $120 overall.
So $15-$20 a year.
Easy.
Okay. So here's my point is would you rather have a Mahomes, and this is the numbers are going to be a little outdated, but let's say Mahomes make $45 a year.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're telling me I could have Garoppolo and Bosa for essentially that price tag, then it's a no-brainer. You're not going to take Mahomes. And that's where is Mahomes better than Garoppolo? Of course he's better than Garoppolo. But it's can you make up the difference in that skill level by being better with your money?
I agree. I,
that's really what it's about. So in a way, I don't think either of these teams, and I don't know that there's a better way to go about it. In other words, one way's better than the other. Do you?
No. I think there's many ways to team build. We've obviously seen it in the last few years. Look at how New England's been built over the few years. They went out and spent a ton of money on Stephon Gilmore. They went out and made a bunch of shrewd trades. They brought in draft picks. It was a good collection. Look how Philadelphia did it.
Yep.
Drafting and making shrewd trades and bringing in guys like Nick Foles off the bench.
Jeffrey.
And then look at how the Rams did it. Let's go all in on this roster with the rookie quarterback. Like, there is no one template on how to get there. The 49ers Niners are kind of bucking the trend, too.
Right.
We paid the quarterback on the front end. Right. We built everything around them.
The draft.
So, yeah.
Moves in free agency.
There's lots of ways to get it done. I don't think there's one template way. It's not like baseball. Now, everybody, you got to tank completely out, and then everybody comes up simultaneously, and then maybe you make a good trade to go get a Verlander. That's not how it is in the NFL.
Nah, you can't be frugal. There's a way. The old Niners did it through free agency. Mm-hmm. They had the draft, but once the salary cap came into place, they made moves by cutting good players inside the free agents and then giving them and front-loading their contracts with big-time signing bonuses. I like that. I like that scenario, Stardy. If you gave me a choice, you said Garoppolo, Nick Bosa, or Patrick Mahomes for that same price tag. I always love the two-for-one deal. I love the two-for-one deal. Garoppolo's a top 15 quarterback. I get it. Mahomes is number one. Mm-hmm. But Garoppolo's not going to, for the most part, not going to lose games for you. He's smart. He's going to get the ball in the right situations. He doesn't have an ego. And then you get Nick Bosa on the other side. I love the two-for-one special right there, even with a guy like Patrick Mahomes.
What's funny that you referenced the two-for-one, Kansas City was kind of faced with this decision a year ago when they had Justin Houston and Dee Ford under contract, and they knew, hey, we're going to have to pay Patrick Mahomes down the line. And they made a shrewd trade, and they said, we'll let both of those guys go, and we'll trade for Frank Clark. And they brought in Frank Clark from Seattle. Seattle went in the other direction. Yep. They said, we're going to pay our quarterback. We're going to trade away this defensive player. And then their subsequent move was, we'll go get Jadeveon Clowney on a one-year deal, and we'll squeeze that lemon for everything it's worth. It's just funny how all these different teams have operated, and they're all kind of in the mix for a championship.
You know, I was reading about Frank Clark getting traded to Kansas City the other day, and basically they could have gave Dee Ford that money. Mm-hmm. And they basically said, you know what, Dee Ford, you went all sides in the AFC Championship game. You lined up wrong. We don't feel like paying you because you had two back surgeries, because you've been out a year. We're going to go with Frank Clark, and we're going to give up picks and money to Frank Clark, which is fascinating to me, that they basically gave Frank Clark D. Ford's money.
888-957-9570 is the number. Talking about these quarterbacks and Patrick Mahomes, next level, top three easily, probably the best young quarterback in the game. He's going to get paid in the next couple years, and he's going to get paid monster money. And the San Francisco 49ers made a trade for Jimmy Garoppolo, signed him to a front-loaded contract, took a little shot at him, and now they've essentially got him under contract for the next 3 years at $25 million, which is going to be a portion of what Mahomes is going to make. So where do you guys come down as 49er fans on those two different scenarios? Because I get it. And you know what's funny is because I could see people out there saying, you guys are idiots. Of course you're taking Mahomes. Crazy.
Right.
But on the other hand, you talk about a 49er fan right now, and they're like, we're fine. Like, we're fine right now. Do you want Mahomes? Yeah, we'll take him for free. But other than that, you know what I mean? It's like, I don't think the 49ers would change a thing right now.
No, I don't think they would.
Yeah.
But let me ask you this one, Matt, and I'm curious, like, because of the violence of the NFL, because guys are retiring left and right, I mean, doesn't it make it more important to conquer the now, like not worry about 2 and 3 and 4 years down the line, and really just hone in on 1 to 2 years at a time? Because we thought Navarro Bowman was going to the Hall of Fame.
But let me ask you this. Does that, if you're going to try to win it 1 or 2 years at a time, or, you know, go for it when you can, to me, that almost doesn't affect your quarterback situation, because you can do it with either.
Yes.
You know, if you're going to try to win every year, well, Mahomes is perfect for that. Mm-hmm. If you're going to try to win every year, you have Garoppolo. He's under reasonable money. Maybe you go the route where you try to build around him, and then at some point you find out whether he can or he can't. You know, that's the other thing about what's going on with the Niners right now, is they're finding out earlier rather than later that Jimmy G might be able to get this done, like, go the whole way. There's other franchises, and let's go with Minnesota, Kirk Cousins.
Right.
And I'm nobody likes him more than me, but it's like it's taken over the course of us years for us to now think, oh boy, I don't know if he can get it done.
Yeah.
Well, boy, that would have been nice to know 7 years ago.
That would have been
But hell, Kyle Shanahan believed it 2 years ago that this guy could get it done. So, you know, you got to kind of work with whatever you have, and if you don't have a quarterback that you can put a team on his back, then you got to go elsewhere. But you can't pay a quarterback Mahomes money and not get Mahomes.
The Niners are blessed in a way. It is a good point, Steiny. Niners are blessed that Belichick picked up the phone and called Kyle Shanahan about Jimmy Garoppolo, because you heard Shanahan the other day. You bring up Kirk Cousins, where he said, look, I didn't study Mahomes enough, because I thought, okay, Kirk Cousins is leaving Washington. I got my guy. I'm going to pay him a boatload of money. I just wonder how much different would the Niners be here at this point if they have given that money to Kirk Cousins? Think about that, because it would have expedited the expectations. It would have expedited, okay, we need to win now. We just gave this quarterback a lot of money. He's our franchise guy. It worked out perfectly. You always talk about breaks, Steiny. Steiny always talk about breaks. I don't believe in luck. Niners caught a break there because they didn't have to pay that money to Kirk Cousins. They got Garoppolo for a bit cheaper, and now they can move forward with Garoppolo at a reasonable price. Where if you're the L.A. Rams, you got no picks, and you gave $36 million and all this money to Jared Goff, where he's going to get paid $36 a year, you'd much rather be in this situation if you're Shanahan and the Niners.
And to further the luck point, I mean, Kirk doesn't go down last year, you're not getting Nick Bosa.
Exactly.
I mean think of all
Jimmy,
the comp.
Yeah,
but I'm saying if you had Kirk
Cousins,
he probably doesn't get hurt.
He's not running out of pocket.
Yeah, he never gets hurt. And here's the other element, guys, that I don't think we give enough credit to. In the NBA, in Major League Baseball, there's guaranteed contracts. You sign a guy to an $80 million deal, you're paying him $80 million.
Yeah.
Outside of Kirk Cousins, there's no one getting these guaranteed deals like that.
Right.
And that's what makes the Niners very unique, because Parag Morate has structured these contracts to where they can get out from underneath them. Mm-hmm. Think about the Kaepernick deal. We talked about it for years. Oh, my God, Kaepernick got all this money on the front end. And then with a snap of the fist, the next thing you know, Kaepernick's gone. Snap of the fingers. Kaepernick's gone, and they owe him nothing.
Right.
That's because the NFL doesn't have guaranteed contracts, and they have an element that we don't know what Kansas City has. They have a great deal maker in Parag Morate who inks very team-friendly deals.
It's smart. It's like the Patriot way almost. Like the Patriots do this with their contracts to where they can move off a guy. And again, when you look at the quarterback position, Brady was able to restructure his deal year in and year out to say, we need to build a team. It ain't just on me. I can't do anything by myself. I need guys around me, and that's the great thing about the Garoppolo contract, where it allows John Lynch and Parag Morate to bring in free agents and sign other players to build this roster, to make it a complete roster, and not have a roster to where you're Russell Wilson and you got holes, and I get it. You're a tackle away from being a number three seed and having a home game, but Seattle, moving forward, they got to make a decision on Clowney. They got to make a decision on running back, so I think the Niners are in a great situation here with Jimmy Garoppolo. And not to say Kansas City's not in a great situation with Patrick Mahomes. That's Patrick Mahomes.
There's many ways to skin the cat. Isn't that what they say?
Yeah. 888-957-9570 if you want to jump in on this quarterback conversation. And I think it's also pertinent because and here's the way I'm going to answer this question, if you're going to throw it out there. And honestly, I don't think it's a hypothetical. And the question is this. Would the 49ers be where they are if they had Kirk Cousins? Now, there's two things. There's two avenues here. One is, if you would have gotten Kirk Cousins when you got Kirk Cousins, you wouldn't be here in terms of the personnel would be different. Having said that, my answer is yes. And the reason I say yes is because the cat's totally out of the bag. Shanahan referenced it yesterday, too. And I'm going to play it after the break. But he referenced it. You know, everybody knew I was going to go after Cousins.
It's crazy. Well,
what does that mean? That means Shanahan thought Cousins could be a Super Bowl quarterback.
Yep.
Period.
Yep.
Shanahan wouldn't have been like, I like Cousins. He can get us to the first round. No. Kyle Shanahan clearly thought he if he got Kirk Cousins, he could do something to make that team a Super Bowl winner. So whether he could or couldn't, the answer is, well, Shanahan thought he could be, right?
Yes, and I was listening to the audio last night, and we'll talk about it after the break as well. But I'm telling you, just I have a hard time believing it. I know he said it, but, man, you've been waiting your entire life to coach a team. Your dad coached a team. You've been sitting there, and you're saying, I got to get my hands on Kirk Cousins. My first job in the NFL is going to be made or broken because of Kirk Cousins. I just like have a hard time hearing face value.
But he says this yesterday. He's still saying it. He's still bringing up Kirk Cousins.
And yet, you know, it's like Kyle's the kind of guy who grew up in football, saw how cutthroat it is.
Yeah.
From his dad, probably knew. Yeah, I've seen guys never get their quarterback in their first two or three years of coaching. And so if you can guarantee we can get Kirk Cousins after this first year here, even after the second, you know, he's more of a sure thing than anybody.
He's functional.
We're gonna take exactly.
He's functional, and I can operate and win some games. And I understand it from that point. But you had the number two pick in the draft. And then you said, I'm going to pass on Watson.
Right.
I'm going to pass on Mahomes.
Yep.
Pass on Trubisky.
And take CJ Beathard in the third round.
No,
traded up to get CJ Beathard.
Right.
I mean,
and instant Kyle Shanahan, we know him to be an honest head coach. He's pretty straightforward.
No doubt.
He's pretty straightforward. I don't think he was. Look, he said it basically. I didn't look at Mahomes. I didn't work him out. Garoppolo, I wasn't sure about. Kirk Cousins was his guy from day one. And I'm just thankful that he – look, because Shanahan, if anything, he isn't perfect. We see that with C.J. Beathard.
Yes.
He traded up for C.J. Beathard in the draft with Mahomes, Watson, and hell, even Trubisky over C.J. Beathard at this point.
Isn't this just how sports works, though? It's the woulda, coulda, shoulda. Obviously, yep. Walsh talked about, I wanted to trade Joe Montana for John Elway. I wanted to draft John Elway. We've talked for years about Kevin Love for Draymond Green and Klay Thompson.
Yep. Right.
And sometimes the greatest moves are the ones you don't make. Yep. And the whole butterfly effect of what does or doesn't happen from not making one of those moves.
888-957-9570. We're talking about Patrick Mahomes, we're talking about Jimmy Garoppolo, and how good a quarterback has to be for you to win a Super Bowl, depending on the team behind you. I mean, we got Tua, we got Burrow, we got Lawrence. I mean, if you think those guys are the next generation, I mean, you got to start thinking about what you would do to get those guys if they're going to turn around a franchise. But how do you know? Here's what's coming up on 95.7 The Game, brought to you by Chilton Auto Body. We're here at the Cheesesteak Shop in Pleasanton, California, 4825 Hop Yard. Come out and say hello. We got a full guest list. We got Adam Kaplan at 11. We've got Dante Hall at 11:30. Bryant Young's going to stop by at 12:30. And that's all sponsored by Chilton Auto Body. Nobody plans on getting into a car accident, but if you do, there's only one place to go, Chilton Auto Body. With 11 convenient Bay Area locations, they're just a call or click away. Stop in or go to ChiltonAutoBody.com to schedule a free estimate. ChiltonAutoBody.com.
Bonte, Steiny, and Guru, live from the Cheesesteak Shop in Pleasanton on 95.7 The Game.
All right, it's a Warriors Wednesday brought to you by Friedman's Appliance, a trusted name in the Bay Area. It's 1922. And by Great Clips. Great haircuts start here. We are at the Cheesesteak Shop in Pleasanton on Hop Yard Road. Hop Yard Road, 4825. If you're in the neighborhood, getting hungry, this is a great place to come out, get a as original a Philly cheesesteak as I've seen out here in the Bay. Let's just put it that way, and I got a little more street cred in this than you guys, with all due respect.
I've been to Reading Terminal, Steiny.
That's
in
Philly.
To Philadelphia a couple times here. Steve's, Jim's, Prince of Steaks, and, of course, Pat and Gino's. I love the cheesesteak shop here on the West
Coast. I'm going to be on. I'm going to let the cat out of the bag. I don't really know my cheesesteaks.
We used
like
to go
when
to the
people
one on
say
Divis.
Pats or jeans, you know
what? Same franchise as the Visitor.
Yeah.
To me, they were the same. Belkis.
See, this is why I love this particular franchise here, the Cheesesteak Shop.
Yep.
We've been going to the one off Divis near Kaiser forever, and they got the big wall, and they had the newspaper inside on the wall so you could eat your sandwich and actually read the old Sporting Green back in the day when that was a thing. Stiny.
Also, you get the yellow car, too, where you get the stamps.
Yeah.
Stamps. So.
Caution. Maybe have it for
maybe.
Me.
And it is nice. A habit. It is a habit to eat these things. How early can you eat a cheesesteak?
Well, this place opens
tomorrow morning, 10 a.m.
You got to realize, and this is something that I think is important. Not everybody works 9 to 5. There's some people that get off work at 7, 8 in the morning.
Yeah. Graveyard
And
shifts.
When they get off at 7 or 8 in the morning, that's dinner.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the other misconception. People think, well, if you work second shift, 3 to 11, well, you can go to bed at 11:30 and get... Nobody can go to bed right after they get done work. Nobody. It's impossible.
You know how long you were doing Warrior post games.
Exactly.
We would come in afterwards. I'd work till midnight. I'd get home.
Exactly.
I'm amped through the lights,
shot.
Baby.
You're shot.
I couldn't go to bed for hours. It was horrible.
So
I'm still working nights. I don't know how I made it in today.
And the problem is it's tough to find a happy hour at midnight.
Oh,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Especially on a Tuesday. So we're talking about Patrick Mahomes and the 49ers quarterback Jimmy Garoppolo. And Shanahan was asked yesterday why the 49ers didn't take a look at Mahomes. This is what he had to say, Kyle Shanahan on Patrick Mahomes.
I didn't look into him obviously as much as I should have. I think it was, we definitely looked into him, studied all his tape. He was just a freak, could make any throw, had the ability to do anything. I think it was a little bit different situation for us. We had the second pick in the draft. Did not feel like from all the intel you get and stuff that he was going to go that high. And it was a little different situation for us just because I think it's pretty well documented of just the relationship I had with Kirk for being in Washington and everything. And I felt very confident that he wasn't going to stay there. So anytime you go into a season knowing that a franchise quarterback is going to be available the next year, it made me a lot more picky with what we were looking at. And you saw a bunch of talented guys in that draft. But it's very tough when you watch college systems and stuff. You don't really know until you get someone in the building. I mean, you can see ability, you can see talent, but how's the mind? How do they play in the pocket? How do they process? And that's not just an IQ score. That's some stuff that I don't think you can totally test. You got to go through that with them. And so there is always a risk with that when you spend a first-round pick on a quarterback. And with the situation we're in, we were in, didn't want to be that risky.
All right, that was Kyle Shanahan. I tell you what, that one's going to – that one may fuel this whole segment. Because there's a few things in there that, to me, are fascinating.
What's the first? Let's hear your first part.
The first thing is he was honest, I think, and then he realized he was honest, and then just tried to backpedal a little bit. And here's why. He goes, yeah. I'll be honest. We didn't look into it. I didn't look into it as much as I should have. Da 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 da. And then he goes, well, you know, of course we did the work. We looked at all the tape. I wonder. You know what I mean?
Right.
Well, you know what's funny? You said,
but it doesn't matter. Whatever. Here's why it doesn't matter is because if you entrust your organization to Kyle Shanahan and he ain't feeling you for whatever reason.
True.
It's end of story, and right. Doesn't mean he can't be wrong.
No, you're right, and it doesn't mean every move they're going to make is going to be the right
exactly,
one.
Though.
I mean,
yeah.
Even if you're batting 40%, you're doing
right.
well, it seems
right.
like, in the NFL. But like, for me on this, like, it reminded me just for a split second of Chip Kelly. He doesn't hit my height, weight, speed
right.
requirements, or maybe Don Nelson. You know, there's just something about the way this guy plays the game. He just can't play in my system. And I think he looked at Mahomes, and he immediately took him off his board for whatever reason that it was. And I think he's having a little buyer's remorse. In a sense, because like you said, you don't just say, you know, we didn't look into it enough and then say, no, but we did. Like, there's more to that.
Right.
I agree with that. The other thing is, if you have a superstar quarterback, there's going to be more pressure on the coach.
100%.
No
well,
doubt.
Don't you also think...
And Don Nelson used to... That is now part of his reputation or perception, and it's not necessarily fair, is like he never wanted to coach the best team. Some coaches love being the underdog.
Well, and I think to that point, Kyle understands that if you don't get the quarterback right, and especially when you draft so high, number two overall, which
yep.
before they made the trade, they were going to be two overall.
Sets a franchise back.
Everything's about developing that guy, and everything rests on whether he succeeds or not. He saw it in Washington. That's why he got fired, because they were the ones that went out and drafted later in that draft Kirk Cousins. But the owner said, you're taking RG3. And when RG3 was cooking, everybody was feeling good.
Right.
The second RG3 stopped playing well, that's when Kyle and his father went on the hot seat, and they got embarrassed by that owner because that quarterback didn't succeed, and their entire tenure was hinging on RG3 being a stud.
Well, let's just take a step back when Mahomes did enter the NFL draft. A lot of people, not just Kyle Shanahan, looked at Mahomes and said, you know what? He plays at Texas Tech. All they do is throw the football, so stats are going to be inflated. We've seen a bunch of guys come through that system. Tim Rattay at La Tech, Cliff Kingsbury mm-hmm. at Texas Tech, Kevin Cobb at Houston, University of Houston, where they played these all wide open. Sam Bradford at Oklahoma. Look at what he did with all those inflated stats, wide open system. So you had to take a step back and say, okay, Mahomes plays at Texas Tech in the Big 12, where they don't really play defense. Every game is about 50 to 45, 60 to 50. It's wide open football. So a lot of people missed out on Mahomes, where they looked at him and said, you know what? He's a wild card. He can throw a lot of interceptions. Yes, he has the arm talent, but we've seen guys with arm talent. Jim Druckenmiller had arm talent. Rob Johnson had arm talent. We see these guys with cannons as a right arm or a left arm. So Mahomes, the whole thing about missing him, you can't really blame Shanny for missing that. The guy to get was Deshaun Watson.
That's the bigger problem.
That was the guy to get because he was a leader. You knew about him playing at big games at Clemson. So I don't really fault Shanahan for saying, you know what? We didn't watch a lot of tape. We didn't really know about this guy. Because guess what? All the experts didn't know about that guy in Patrick Mahomes.
But it felt like he was trying to kick the can down the road as far as accountability in year
right.
one. That's what I feel like the bigger overarching theme is we're just not ready to be judged yet.
Right.
Don't judge me until
right.
I get my quarterback situation settled. And then back to the Washington thing, the reason why I feel like he's been always enamored with Kirk Cousins is because That's always been his guy.
Right.
And that's been the dude that he's been going to bat for. But don't you also think the fact that they ran through him in the playoffs, he's still going to go to bat for Kirk Cousins.
Right.
He's a franchise guy. Right. I'm going to go out of my way to compliment him.
But
like, that's his dude. He's not going to rip him.
Here's the funny thing about Kirk Cousins, though, in Washington. Shanahan left before Kirk Cousins really started playing in Washington. All that stuff stems from the meeting room, the practice field, mm-hmm. the fact that they drafted him in the fourth round and he was with them every single day. Kirk Cousins didn't really get on the field until McVay was calling the plays and Jay Gruden was mm-hmm. a head coach. That's why the whole Cousins-Shanahan thing is fascinating, because it's like, Shanny, you were in Cleveland. You were in Atlanta. Yeah,
but if you go back to the Sports Illustrated article, which kind of details what went down in Washington, what they say there very specifically is that Dan Snyder came to Mike Shanahan and said, I am taking RG3. Right. We are trading up to go get this guy. You have to figure it out. And Mike Shanahan locked them in a room.
Yep.
LaFleur,
yep.
McVay, Shanahan.
They all studied the spread system.
Exactly.
Yeah.
They said, how can we make this work for this guy? And then Shanahan told his dad, hey, look, we have to have a backup plan, because if this guy gets hurt or if he can't read defenses, which I don't think he can, this is what's going to happen. We need a fallback option, and that's why they took that. How many teams draft a franchise quarterback in the first round and then four rounds later take someone in the fourth?
Yep. We all thought that. We all thought that right now. I mean, when that draft happened, we're like, oh, boy, they took Kirk Cousins in the fourth round. And the thing about Kirk Cousins, he wasn't bad at Michigan State. He wasn't a bad quarterback coming out of Michigan State. He was actually, I think, really good value for a fourth-round draft pick. Now, I know people are going to laugh at me and say, you hate Kirk Cousins. I just don't think he's as good as that contract that he received. That's not his fault. But Kirk Cousins was a very good pick for Washington, and that's why it's just, again, Shanahan going back to that well saying, I had a plan to go get Kirk Cousins. He basically laid it all out there for us that, yes, he was going after Kirk Cousins, and how lucky are the Niners to not have to go down that road with Kirk Cousins to where they get Jimmy G, and now you're able to still build. You're still able to pay George Kittle in the future. Still able to pay Eric Armstead, DeForest Buckner, and move off of deals like Dee Ford.
You know, this is where I think we have to give credit to John Lynch, because how many times do we see the GM who is hand-selected by the head coach kind of just fall in line with whatever the head coach wants to do because you got the job with him? John Lynch had enough gravitas, whatever you want to call it, Politico, in that front office to say, you know what? This is the guy I think you need to be working with. Let's make this deal now. I can't. We're 0-9. You know, it's Halloween night. I'm trying to swing a big-time deal for Brady just to mess with Belichick, and he's going to dangle me out Jimmy Garoppolo. Let's swing for it. Let's see if it works. And Kyle's like, I don't know. I'm not really sure. I think it's a testament more, and as great as Kyle is, I don't think we're giving John Lynch enough credit for having, again, the clout to be able to step up to Kyle Shanahan and say, just see if it works. Let's just see if it works.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. Let's go to Thomas. Thomas is in San Leandro. What's going on, Thomas? How you doing, man?
I'm doing great. How you guys doing?
Doing well.
Okay, so I'm going to answer your question about the Niners. They're better off with Jimmy Garoppolo as opposed to Kirk Cousins. The answer is absolutely yes. They are better off with Jimmy Garoppolo. And, you know, the one thing that people don't realize about this Jimmy Garoppolo, gets injured first year, second year, he takes the team to the Super Bowl. That's a huge accomplishment, you know. And I've been listening to people talk about him. They're so condescending. He throws interception. And, you know, they don't talk about the good parts, the touchdown that he throws. You know, you guys have heard about Brett Favre. He threw a lot of interceptions. He's a Hall of Famer, you know. And people they're so condescending when it comes to Jimmy Garoppolo. And I want people to start respecting this guy, you know, and that he has done a lot. He has done a lot for this team. He has exceeded my expectations. I don't know about you guys, but he has exceeded my expectations, and he's done a pretty good job. So they're better off with Jimmy Garoppolo as opposed to Kirk Cousins. And by the way, Kirk Cousins is an average quarterback. Jimmy Garoppolo is above average quarterback, and he's done a fantastic job for this team. He's good in a 49er uniform, too, so I think they should be the guy.
Thanks, Thomas. Appreciate the call. A couple things there. I mean, who knows what Cousins would have been under Kyle Shanahan, and who knows what Garoppolo would have been under Joe Average, offensive coordinator.
I agree with that
100%. But he's also right in the question he asked, has Jimmy – and it's hard to say no to this. Has Jimmy Garoppolo exceeded your expectations?
Absolutely. He's shown
or has the team.
No, I think it's him, too.
See, they obviously go together.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And I feel like we've seen 2 to 3 years worth of growth compacted into one season. That's what I feel like we've seen.
Right.
What I thought I was going to see last year and into this year, I saw all in one season. And that's, to me, that's the most remarkable thing about this. And I know he hasn't been asked to do a whole lot, but I can't sit here with a straight face and say, I know for a fact Brian Hoyer, C.J. Beathard, Nick Mullins, you know, insert horrible 49er quarterback here would be comparable to what Jimmy Garoppolo. I just don't see them throwing for 300 yards and 4 touchdowns in Arizona on a Thursday night, for example. I don't see them going toe-to-toe with Drew Brees like they did down in New Orleans. You got to give Jimmy some credit.
And the leadership for Jimmy Garoppolo. We underestimate that, the leadership, how he galvanizes that offense. They all flock to Jimmy Garoppolo and say, this guy's our leader. We'll run through a wall for Jimmy Garoppolo. Going back to the trade, look, I didn't know what Jimmy Garoppolo was. I just saw the Arizona game on Sunday Night Football when he was with the Patriots and when he got hurt against the Dolphins. That's about it. But I know when that trade went through, it's something about Jimmy Garoppolo. And you said, you know what, he's a better option than Brian Hoyer. He's a better option than C.J. Beathard. You see him play those first 5 games. And you're saying, okay, you got something here. This guy can make throws. He commands the huddle. Kyle's starting to trust this guy. But, yeah, did I think Jimmy G would be in this position in the Super Bowl? Hell no. Especially after we saw him in Denver in the preseason where we all freaked out. But he just looked like he was a mess. And it was like, boy, it's going to be a rough year if he's playing like this and his footwork is like this.
I think also what happens is, so Kyle Shanahan has a head coaching job, and he's a great play caller. So he knows exactly who Kirk Cousins is. So once you know exactly who a quarterback is, a guy like Kyle Shanahan then implements a game plan to best suit that quarterback, even if that quarterback stinks,
right,
to do the best he can. So I think also what happened was he knew Cousins so well that he knew if he brought him into the system, he'd basically have an offense ready-made.
Absolutely.
Right. Once they traded for Garoppolo, he went back, looked at film, although there wasn't much on him. He's like, okay, well, now I'm going to have to take some time to figure out what this guy can do. And I think first of all, I think Jimmy G's an unfinished product.
100%.
But I think he saw what he could do right now and saw the team around him and devised this particular offense, not specifically for Jimmy G, but it was born out of what he was learning about him over the course of since he got traded here.
Well, and remember, he got traded in the middle of the season, and they had Lewis Murphy as their number one
receiver. That's who caught
pass. So the way I'm looking at this is they had a limited playbook. You had a bunch of guys who were hurt. Remember, they had big Trent Brown who didn't want to come back after getting hurt with the shoulder.
Yep.
Joe Staley was out with the orbital. Like, they literally had a 6-play playbook, it seemed like, for about 5 weeks. But you saw some things from Jimmy that you're like, wow, he's got some mock. There's a little something about him. And then I think they threw way too much at him last year. And he was just, you know, what do they say, paralysis by analysis.
He was forcing things last year. He tried to do too much last year.
Kyle threw way too much at him.
Yeah, he did throw a lot at him, but you could tell in Jimmy G's play, the Minnesota game, the 3 picks, he was forcing it. The picks, and I know Kendrick Bourne took blame for it, but the Detroit game was really alarming. That's what I said. Oh, boy, Jimmy G's trying to be a star already, he's just trying to do too much when he was taking the sacks, not throwing the ball away. And he still does that from time to time, which is why I agree with you in the sense that he's not a finished product.
Well, and who's to say Shanahan, what happened in Minnesota last year and what happened in training camp this year? Of course, we made a big deal out of it. But let's just suppose for a minute, maybe it wasn't as big a deal as we made out of it, but it was a big enough deal where Kyle Shanahan said, you know what, we might have to run more. I mean, we just might have to run more. We just may have to go a different avenue here. That's very possible. And then, of course, you go emphasize the run game, and now all of a sudden Garoppolo looks like a hell of a much better quarterback when he's got a running game behind him, and he can pick his spots.
Well, I think we never give the attribute of development for head coaches. Like, coaches get better or worse over time, but we never give that. Like, is Andy Reid a better coach now in his 60s or when he was in his 40s?
Of course. Yeah,
probably better way now. Better now.
Right.
Like, Kyle Shanahan, he was 37, 38 years right. old when he got the job. So we don't give him enough credit. The other part of this is, and to like a coaching standpoint, and whether it's basketball, baseball, whatever, you put people in certain positions thinking they will succeed, thinking this is going to happen. These are the probabilities of what I expect to happen. And then you go out there and you're like, oh, well, maybe we're not prepared for this. Or maybe we don't do X, Y, and Z really well. And you just kind of evolve and adjust as time goes on. I think Kyle Shanahan specifically learned from those mistakes and continue to evolve. And I think that Jimmy Garoppolo is still developing, and it's just a work in progress altogether, all of them. Kyle, yeah. Jimmy, the yeah. offense in
John
general.
Lynch.
John Lynch, no doubt.
Let's head over to let's go down to San Jose. Bill. Bill is in San Jose, wants to talk some Jimmy G. What's up, Bill? How you doing, man?
Doing very good. Thanks for taking my call, fellas.
No problem.
I hope I get enough time to talk about this. Personally, I think if Kirk Cousins is the quarterback of this football team right now, I think we're better. And I say that because I don't think we're factoring in the strength of the defense. There was a lot of defensive stands that, let's go back to Pittsburgh, who covered up Jimmy's monumental mistake. They should have lost that game by 30 points, and they won. QBR, they're 5 points away, 6 points away. They both throw about 70% completion. The glaring issue for me is Garoppolo threw 13 picks. Cousins only threw 6. So I think he's smarter. I don't think he makes as many mistakes. He's a more mature, more developed quarterback. Where does Jimmy go moving forward? Who knows? I mean, he could be better. I don't know. But today,
I think the Niners,
have a chance to maybe go undefeated if Kirk Cousins
hold on one sec. Let me just ask Bill a question, then I'll open it up for you guys. So, what happens if the 49ers win the Super Bowl? Will you have any more respect for Jimmy Garoppolo?
Oh, no, I'm not taking anything away from Jimmy Garoppolo. Nothing. I know I sound like I'm knocking him in order to praise Cousins. I'm not. I think I'm doing the exact opposite. I don't want to take anything away from Cousins because of what he did the last time we played him. I mean, our defense made him look like a, you know what I mean? And that's not his fault. I mean, yeah, maybe it is a little bit, but we made a lot of good quarterbacks look bad. We made Aaron Rodgers look bad, you know? And I don't take anything away from Garoppolo. He's the man. He is one bad dude, and I think he's going to get better.
I disagree with everything you're saying here.
I respect your opinion.
So wrong.
No, because I think he's completely wrong. Look, they're missing their left and right tackles
Bill.
For 5 weeks. You think Kirk Cousins is going to evade pressure the way Jimmy Garoppolo did, buying more time, the anticipation? We are not giving Jimmy enough credit in the pocket. This dude was buying time for this team for 5 straight weeks when they had duct tape all over this offensive line. Simultaneously, you cannot just look at the stats hollow without the context. Kirk Cousins is the king, the absolute king
Garbage
of
time.
The 85-yard drive down 2 touchdowns
Thank
with
you.
6 minutes to go.
Thank
all
you.
Right? His numbers would be completely deflated in Kyle Shanahan's system because I think they would run even more with Kirk Cousins under center.
I mean, Minnesota has regressed since Kirk Cousins got there. They went 13-3 with Case freaking Keenum and have regressed since then, thinking that, hey, Kirk Cousins is our answer. Kirk Cousins is a guy who's going to get us over the hump into the Super Bowl. He's going to get us over the hump against Philadelphia and all these teams in the NFC. Wrong. And you look at the stats, the Niners opened up the season by running the ball heavily. Why? Because you had a young receiver in Deebo Samuel who wasn't acclimated to the NFL game yet. All you had really in the passing game as a threat was George Kittle. You were relying on Dante Pettis, who's not even playing anymore. And once those tackles got hurt, and once you traded for Emmanuel Sanders, Shanahan said, you know what? We could pass a little bit more. And what did Garoppolo do? He balled out. He won your games. He's tied for the league and comeback victories, man. Garoppolo's a smart player. I know he's going to throw picks, but this is his first full season. And in his first full season, he showed me enough to where I would want Jimmy G on any given day over Kirk Cousins. I mean, we've seen enough of Kirk.
Well, I think, and I'm not being condescending, I think that's easy to say right now. All I'm leaning on is I know Kyle Shanahan probably looks at a list of 32 quarterbacks in the NFL. He probably did this, he's always done this. And he goes down the list and he's like, I can win with that guy. I can win with that guy. That guy I don't know about. not him. And you know what? The bottom line is he pointed at Kirk Cousins and said, I can win with that guy.
Well, because risk aversion. That's sure, what head okay. coaches That's do, fair. Especially in their first job,
That's
right?
That's fair.
And I think that, you know, you know what you know, and you're comfortable with the people that you trust. And I think that that's part of Kyle Shanahan's assessment there. The other thing that we're not – I mean, did you not look at the 49ers' schedule over the last 11 weeks?
I know.
It was the toughest schedule in the NFL. There was one point, it was the hardest three-game stretch the NFL has ever seen. And Jimmy Garoppolo did not step down, went toe-to-toe with every single one of those guys. I've been one of the harshest critics of Jimmy Garoppolo, and I'm out here waving the flag for this guy. And I still think that I need to see way more from him. Like, here's the other thing that Kirk Cousins isn't asked to do. He's not asked to throw the ball outside the numbers.
No.
Neither is Garoppolo.
He throws a good fade route, though. I give Kirk that.
But his wide receivers are significantly more experienced and better than what the Niners had over a stretch. Before Emmanuel Sanders got here, they were throwing to a rookie who had six games of experience.
Dante Pettis, Kendrick Bourne, George Kittle or whatnot. Hey, fellas, it is Super Week here on 95.7 The Game, and we are hitting the road for a broadcast blitz to hang with you, the faithful. We're broadcasting live from a different location every day this week. Tomorrow, join us from 10 to 2 at Bartlett Hall, located at 242 O'Farrell Street in the city. That's Bartlett Hall, 242 O'Farrell Street in San Francisco. And for a list of locations, please visit the events page at 95.7thegame.com.
All right, coming up next, Adam Kaplan. He's 95.7 The Game's NFL insider. You know him. He's done great work for us all season long. Nobody's more tapped in than Adam. More Super Bowl talk when we come back, and that's sponsored by Fremont Bank. Full-service banking, no compromises.
Steiny and Guru, live from the Cheesesteak Shop in Pleasanton on 95.7 The Game.
All righty, we are joining you from Pleasanton, California, the Cheesesteak Shop on 4825 Hop Yard. Come by, say hello. Starting to get some action in here. And
hey.
Speaking of action, oh, you like that one? Time to go out to Adam Kaplan. He's our 95.7 The Game NFL insider. Adam is brought to you by California Bank of Commerce, the premier business bank. Adam, can I presume you got to Miami safely?
I did, man. Guy's going to talk to you. First of all, here's my question.
Yeah.
Is the guy who owns this cheesesteak place, is he from Philly?
No, but okay.
Because you can't call out there, guys. Look, I've been in the Bay Area for decades. These hoagie shops show up. Steiny, you aren't you from like Harrisburg or somewhere around there?
Redding.
Okay, not too bad. See, I remember. How good is the steak? You tell me. Did you eat it yet?
Well, you know what? Here's the bottom line, and I'm a bottom line type of guy, as Henry Fonda said in On Golden Pond. It's the closest thing they have.
All right.
It's the closest.
Right.
So okay. I really do think it's the most authentic.
I like that. All right. Good.
Yeah.
Good.
I'm trying to think what we've been talking about today, because I like to just include you in our conversations. Did you make anything out about the Chiefs owner talking about Mahomes' contract and saying, yeah, we'll get to it in 12 to 15 months? I didn't really think too much of it, but I've heard some radio people, et cetera, say it's a little – the timing's a little weird, and what if Mahomes wants to get something done sooner?
Yeah, but here's the thing, though. They've got him under control for at least three more years.
Right.
With next year, plus his fifth-year option, plus two tags. If you don't want to do that in today's NFL. And by the way, with the CBA up after this next season, we don't know if franchise tags will still be there. You think they would be, and that's the gamble that they could take. But look, the thought process from Mahomes' people that the deal would get done this spring, it's not like he's going to hold out. He'll only be in his fourth year, and only his third year as a full-time starter. But you would like to knock that out, because the longer you wait for the quarterback, that deal, if it gets done this year, will be between 40 and 43 million, most likely per season.
Wow.
There's no way it'll be under 40, because that's with the rise in the cap. Lee Steinberg will do that deal. He's obviously one of the most famous agents in NFL history. He was Steve Young's agent. There's just no way, based on the way that Mahomes is going. You look at Jimmy G's contract at $25 million. Who's not a dynamic quarterback?
Right.
He did his early. They did it at the time of the. They did it a little bit later, but his is $25 million a year. Think about it. And Mahomes is way more talented, asked to do way more How could you take less than $40 million for that deal with a rise in the cap? You can't. That's where it's going.
Well, and that was a lot of our discussion the first hour, is just there are two different paths here, these two quarterbacks, obviously for reason, and we were just kind of batting around. You know, you want a guy at 25, it gives you more flexibility. Of course you want Patrick Mahomes if you can get him at any price. But what we were getting at is I don't think either franchise would want to change where they're at all right now.
No, the only thing you can do, I had a cap manager tell me from the quarterback from his team, they were thinking of, this is before Russell Wilson did his four-year deal, is do a fully guaranteed contract from beginning to end, but lower the base salaries. Let's say you and I were doing Mahomes' contract. Okay. I would say, hey, let's do this. Let's do a four-year deal, but fully guaranteed signing, but it's going to be $35 million a year. Would you do it? That's what you say to Lee Steinberg. You're going to take less per year, but we're going to fully guarantee it at signing, so if we have to cut him after year two, he still gets the money. Would you take that? And that way you save the money.
Right.
You save the money. But here's the problem with fully guaranteed contracts. They have to put anything that's fully guaranteed, base salaries, signing bonuses, or fully guaranteed roster bonuses, they have to be put in escrow. Owners do not like to put up money up front like that.
Adam, I'm looking at the Chiefs situation here, staying on this topic. And I like where the Niners are at. As you mentioned, they front-loaded Jimmy G's contract. They have him for about $25, $26 million over the future, which enables them to sign a guy like George Kittle to an extension, Buckner if they want to, and they can move off some deals. Kansas City, I'm looking at it. Do I believe the window's closing for the Chiefs? No. They have Patrick Mahomes. Whenever you have a Patrick Mahomes, you're going to be in contention. But, boy, they have a lot of free agents, starting with Chris Jones on that defensive line. I just don't know how the Chiefs can – or how you can stay competitive in today's NFL when you front-load so much money to your quarterback or you give your quarterback so much percentage of the cap. It's just tough to do.
Bonte, what you do is you could give him minimum-based salaries, give him a six-year deal with a major signing bonus – and that takes up a lot of the guaranteed money. You could give them an historic $60 million signing bonus. You spread over the lifetime of the deal. You give the proration per year, $12 million a year in signing bonus money that's spread out over 6 years or 5 years for $60 million. To sum this up so we don't bore people.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.